Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 59. I am here with Mellified and Alien Pickle. A glorious Saturday afternoon. How y'all doing?
This is Mellified. I am doing wonderfully. Very happy to be here. Excited to talk some games.
Excellent.
I'm awake.
Jim's awake.
That's as good as I got.
Oh, that's acceptable. We'll take it. We'll take what we can get. That's good. Well, today we kind of wanted to talk about, you know, with, you know, now that the Steam Deck is out in the wild, Steam Deck is now a console on the market, if you will. It is a handheld console. It's a portable gaming device. We kind of wanted to talk about this idea, this notion of, you know, PC versus console versus handheld versus mobile and all that other stuff. And kind of like, you know, just kind of gauge the market, gauge the, you know, what we like, what we don't like, the pros and cons of all these things. One thing that I was telling Mellified and Pickle before we recorded this was, is like the line when it comes to PC starts to get real blurry with some of this stuff. Where I feel like there's the console wars and then there's the PC wars. And, you know, the PC wars are kind of like its own thing because you have, you know, Steam and GOG and Epic and all these other places where you can buy your games from. But you're not necessarily competing, if you will, with the consoles. I do think that there's a distinct, like, designation there, and it gets even more blurry when you think of, you know, on the PC, one of the launchers you have is like the Xbox launcher. Like, you can even play Microsoft games through the Xbox launcher, and then you have Game Pass, which is also on PC, but it's also on Xbox. And so the line starts getting very blurred. But now that the Steam Deck is in the market, I think that kind of changes some things and might even sway preferences, but it also makes me wonder if Microsoft is going to try and see if they can't wiggle their way into the Steam Deck and get, you know, their launcher on the Steam Deck somehow.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is like, when you get a console like a PlayStation or whatever, then you're locked into the official store, right? So that hardware only talks to that store. So if you buy anything for that console, you're getting it through the manufacturer, right? But if there's a console that then allows different stores on it, then that would be a strange thing.
It would be. Now, I know that Mellified, you've got a Steam Deck, and you've noticed that you've started changing some of your preferences in your purchases, and only like a few weeks here that you've had it. So talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, so I think I was one of the big advocates in our community for Playnite, which is a unified launcher for PC. And with Playnite, I can pull in, you know, everything from Steam, Epic, Oculus, Google, Rockstar, Riot, I mean, a few others even. As well as just, you know, if I mod a game and I have a special version, I love Jagged Alliance 2, and so I'll go back and do modded versions of that. I can bring that into the launcher. And so I've had everything at my fingertips in one very nice user interface for a while on the PC. And so I really didn't care all that much where I got my games from, because they all ended up in Playnite anyway. And, you know, I certainly like achievements, and if I prefer a platform that has achievements, I prefer games that have achievements. So, you know, I mean, there was some preference there, but it was a pretty mild one. And with the Steam Deck, you know, yes, you can absolutely bring in third-party launchers for third-party games, but it's extra hoops, it's extra steps. And I'm a lazy person at heart. So I've been, you know, kind of wishlisting games that I already own on other platforms and wishlisting the Steam version just to catch it when it goes on sale and get it cheap, because it's way more convenient to have it in my Steam library and pull it down to the Steam Deck and be able to start playing it than it is to, you know, have it on GOG or Epic or something else. So, you know, from that perspective, Valve did what they wanted to do, which is they're going to make more money from me than they would have otherwise. And I'm even, like I said, rebuying games that I already own on other platforms. One of the most expensive examples recently was Hitman 3, which I bought on Epic because that was its launch platform. And I skipped it when it came to Steam because I already owned it. Why would I buy it again? But lo and behold, when it went on sale, I picked it up because I wanted to be able to easily play it on Steam.
Now, you see, that's interesting because, you know, we've had this discussion before about Play Night, right? And I've certainly mm-hmm. talked at length about Steam Link. You know, Steam Link is the culmination of Steam's or Valve's process of trying to figure out an alternative way to play their games or play games through their ecosystem. You know, they had the Steam machines, then, you know, there was the whole thing with Steam OS. Then they came out with a physical Steam Link device, which, you know, they no longer are doing anything with. And then they came out with the Steam Link app. And I think that's where they've settled for the longest time is the Steam Link app that you can get. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on like a Android TV. You can put it on. You can actually get a Steam Link app for the PC to where you can stream your Steam stuff to the app and play your Steam library from your home computer, whatever it is, like anywhere, basically over the internet if you want to, or somewhere else.
Or if you just have a crappy laptop, yeah, and you want to play off of your big, nice gaming PC. I thought that was a great use case for it.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I've kind of been in that camp for such a long time because I liked the ease and convenience of being able to not necessarily have to be locked into my PC all the time in order to play stuff. You know, I've recently been playing a lot of Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. I've been playing a lot of it either on my phone upstairs on the couch watching TV with the wife or actually on the TV, you know, upstairs. And, you know, some of it I've played here on my computer, but I've mostly been playing it remotely. And
are you using an add-on controller for your phone, or are you just doing touch controls?
Oh, I'm doing an add-on controller. I've got the official like Microsoft or not Microsoft, but like an Xbox controller clip for my phone.
Okay.
And it's got like these two gears and you can adjust it where you want it, and it's super slick. I love it. And I use it actually with my Elite controller. I use my Elite controller with my phone and with my Shield upstairs. It's funny that I don't use my Elite controller with my PC. I use it with my other stuff to play these games upstairs. And I use my Xbox One X controller on my PC downstairs. But you know, I can take that Elite controller with me a little bit easier. It's got a carrying case and it's nicer, and so I can, you know, kind of game anywhere with it I want to. And I love the Elite controller. It's one of my favorite controllers. And I might start using it on my PC a little bit more. I've set up a couple of like charging stations throughout the house with like stuff so I can plug things in and use them almost anywhere around the house if I want to. So I can just kind of take it with me. But because I've already got my Xbox down here, it's easy to transition between using my Xbox and my PC with one controller down here, which is actually kind of nice. But point being, though, is that I've been in the camp of using Steam for such a long time that I've been looking for ways of incorporating non-Steam games into that Steam experience to be able to play them, including like emulators and stuff like that. Like, I know I've been successfully able to remote play the Dolphin emulator and play Zelda games remotely, like on my TV upstairs and stuff like that. There was a nifty version in Play Night of a tool that lets you export stuff back into Steam. There's like a Steam exporter, so you could bring all of your stuff into Play Night and then export any non-Steam stuff back into Steam and launch it through Steam successfully. And something broke with that at one point, like, because I used to be able to do Microsoft Store stuff that way, and now I can't. There was some interesting stuff that kind of broke with that, and that feature doesn't quite work. I think that plugin hasn't been updated in some time.
That's a shame.
It is a shame, and it sucks because I loved Playnite for being able to organize everything and then pipe it back into Steam and use it that way. I'm really looking forward...
That would also be super handy if you're a Steam controller customization fan, because you have to launch the game through Steam to use either the old Steam controller or the customized, you know, Xbox, PlayStation controller.
Yeah, and I hate the Steam controller, but the thing with it was, though, is it, you know, I'm looking forward to getting the Steam Deck, because not only can I do stuff natively and locally on that sucker instead, you know, I don't necessarily have to stream stuff, but it's also going to give me the option to also stream stuff from my, you know, my computer locally. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really looking forward to that. I think it will kind of gauge where I do get things from. But the thing that I am concerned with, though, is I also am heavily into the Game Pass Ultimate stuff, and I play a lot of PC stuff through that. And so while I know that I can play like Halo Infinite, for example, through Steam, I've already got it installed and running, you know, through, you know, my PC, or, you know, I have it for free essentially because of my Game Pass, you know, stuff. I don't want to have to buy the campaign again in order to play it through Steam that way. So and I'm not talking about doing like the cloud stuff, because I know that I think you can already do some of the cloud streaming stuff through the Steam Deck.
You can through the Edge browser on Linux.
Yeah.
And Microsoft even published an article that told you how to do it and gave you artwork to update the Steam interface with a nice, pretty logo and stuff. So Microsoft, you know, went all in on people doing that.
But what I'm looking for, and what I'm looking forward to, is trying to get, you know, native support, you know, from Microsoft through some of this stuff. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, what are some of your other things, though? Like, with you've definitely gotten into, you know, the Steam Store ecosystem a little bit more. I mean, is it just that much harder to deal with in general, with third party stuff, because you're not there,
it's a little fiddly. Like, getting access to the SD card, for example, requires some extra hoops to jump through. Getting those games added back into Steam with artwork, so you know you have a nice pretty logo and stuff, is an extra program that you have to run, and I found that to be a little fiddly. And it has the problem of, you know, grabbing the wrong art sometimes, things like that. So it's not that it's bad. It's definitely doable. But to do it for any large number of games is very, very tedious, in my opinion. Versus just being able to go into a library view and click, yes, I want to play this, go install it, Steam. And it does it. And, you know, away you go.
Interesting.
The other layer to all games on Steam Deck, because it's running Linux and you're doing a translation layer, there are a couple different options for what is going to do that translation. There's two or three choices from Valve, and then there's a couple third-party options as well that work with certain games. So you've already got this fiddly bit where you have to figure out, like, oh, this game isn't certified yet. Let me go figure out how to get it running. And if I have to figure out how to get it installed and get it added with artwork and all that stuff on top of that fiddly bit, you know, of the actual getting the game to run, it's a bridge too far for me. I'm first one to admit I'm lazy, but, you know, this is the reality of the experience, right?
Well, this is starting to make me wonder, you know, the Steam Deck essentially the new Steam machine. And I say that because, like, you know, with being able to dock it, and they're coming out with an official dock pretty soon. You know, my mind goes to, I set this up with a dock to my PC. You know, I've got a Bluetooth controller, you know, wireless controller, whatever it is. You know, am I going to want to continue to try and get stuff through my Xbox or my PlayStation? Or am I going to, like, focus more on my Steam Deck and my PC Steam library experience for where I get my games now. Because essentially what we're doing is we're adding it, we're really adding in a competitor to the console market with a PC alternative in a weird way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you put the dock out in the living room and then you have a console that is a Steam console.
Yeah.
That the thing that they always tried to penetrate the living room with Steam, right? And well, there it is, because you just dock that bad boy and you got it.
Yeah, that's with Steam's technology, you know, it's just, you know, like Valve's doing some interesting with their technology. They got the whole remote play together nonsense. They got the Steam, like they have the remote streaming like functionalities. I'd actually be interested in trying out, and I'd like to try this out with one of you guys at some point, is that I would love to try and Steam stream my game to my living room, but also see if we can remote play and it still be a smooth experience. I'd be curious to find out.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Be a good experiment.
It would be a really interesting experiment because I think, you know, I love what Microsoft's doing in the gaming space right now. I think they're doing a lot of good. But like I think Valve potentially has hit onto something that could be very interesting, because it's all about ecosystem, right? Like it's not necessarily a console war, it's an ecosystem war. And Microsoft is doing an amazing thing with the ecosystem war. And I think Valve might have just hit on something pretty strong here by getting into a whole new market share with their ecosystem.
Well, I can tell you one of my things that I love about Steam is Workshop. It is just so easy to install mods, to use mods, to find mods depending on the game. Sometimes there's a lot of crap out there, but... you know, and I not say it's perfect, because I think some of the versioning stuff is a problem. You know, sometimes out of date mods stick around for a while and it's not obvious that they don't work anymore, for example. But something that I don't think people have talked about is there are very few moddable games on console. If a game has Steam Workshop support, it's moddable on the Steam Deck. And it automatically pulls down all the mods that you've already subscribed to. And mods, generally, if the game runs, the mods are going to run.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's a big deal in my mind, to be able to play the awesome, amazing community mods that are out there for so many games on a, air quotes, console or handheld device. I really think that's, you know, potentially a big differentiator for Valve with the Steam Deck.
Yeah, it's also been interesting too, because when you remote play with the Steam, it does the whole Steam big picture mode, so you have a nice like controller friendly interface to navigate, you know, through your library. You know, I've got a couple of movies through Steam because I was given codes for like free to play the Valve documentary, and then I have Kung Fury through Steam somehow for whatever reason. and, you know, and of course all of the music from the different soundtracks to the different games that you can just, you know, click and play, because it'll actually stream play it, which is really cool too. Like I've got, you know, I like listening to the Stellaris soundtrack, for example. So that's like on my, but, you know, you can manage your entire Steam library from here. And what's also interesting that I found with this is I can even remote install games to play. So like, it'll even give you the, like, here's how much storage you have available on your remote computer. And, you know, so it's pretty fantastic. And, But anywho, what are some of the other things though that you've definitely been noticing though, Mellified, with like some of this stuff?
I think there are a couple different choices for cheats on the Steam Deck. If you're a filthy cheater like I am, overlays are a concept the Steam Deck has, where you can bring up over your game the, you know, Steam interface to do your friends list or whatever. On the Steam Deck, they've figured out how to create third-party overlays. And so, you know, there's people working on a cheat engine overlay, for example. So you could go in and easily change some of the game settings or you know, variables in the game. So in my mind, that open aspect of it is a big deal. I love some of the Nintendo games on the Switch, but I don't love having to grind for things and having to spend a lot of time, you know, just kind of doing repetitive tasks to enjoy the game to get to the good part. So I like, that's why I like the cheating and the fact that I could do that on Steam Deck where I can't on other consoles without, you know, going and doing something questionable at best, shall we say, in terms of hacking the console in order to enable stuff like cheating. You know, I think that's another aspect to it that's really positive for the Steam Deck. Past that, you know, I like Xbox's ecosystem. I love Xbox Cloud Save, and Cloud Save is pretty well supported on PC for games that you get from Game Pass. It is not universal, unfortunately, but it is, you know, usually there. But gosh, you know, Steam are one of the first ones who had cloud saves, and pretty much everything, it seems like on the Steam Deck, you know, or on Steam in general supports cloud saves these days. So, I mean, that's another one that I feel like is a pretty big deal. Having your save games on the deck when you pick it up to go play it is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I mean, at this point though, like, you know, we're pretty big gamers in general. Like, we like varieties of games, playing games on different platforms and stuff like that. But I mean, as time goes on though, I mean, realistically speaking, where do you feel like you're going to start seeing yourself spending more of your time? I mean, are you, I mean, I know you've done some dock type stuff and you've got a bunch of stuff you've talked about on the Steam Deck thread that we have here on Discord. But I mean, are you fully looking to dock this thing out of TV and just have it be your next console of choice, or like,
my office at home where I have my gaming PC set up is in a different building. So we have like a shed that we finished. So, you know, when I go out there, I'm kind of on my own. I don't see my wife. I don't see my kids, which can be a good thing at times, right? I can really buckle down and focus and dive deep on a game that I'm enjoying and I'm excited to play. But there are times when I would like to, you know, be around my family. And so the Steam Deck is an interesting way for me to have something handheld that I could leave in the house and pick up when I want to play in the family room and, you know, be able to hang out and be available for my family versus the, you know, having to go out to the office to play. And so I do think that's my major use case. I'm not even sure that I'll dock it at that point. Like, I might just play it in handheld mode on the couch. I may dock it. I mean, there's not an official dock solution yet, and I haven't really I haven't hooked any HDMI up to mine, although I have the capability to, just because that's not what it is for me. It's the portability of it right now. But yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, if I had a dock, I'd probably just leave it in the dock in the house. And then when I wanted to play something, I'd pick it up and either play it using remote play off of my very expensive, very nice gaming PC. Or like, you know, my wife had a visit to the doctor that, you know, she needed me to go with her to drive, 'cause she was going to be unable to drive for a little bit after the procedure. So, like, I brought my Steam Deck with me, and I was sitting in the waiting room. That was right after I got it, basically. I was sitting in the waiting room and just, you know, dorking around playing a game or two. And, like, that's, you know, a lot of people would just pull out their phone. But I want to, if I want to play, like, a big game that I'm really excited about, the Steam Deck's a fantastic way to do that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, and I think that was kind of the point I was getting at, though. It's because it's kind of like the Switch, right? Like, you can leave the Switch docked and you can play it on your TV, but, like, maybe you want to, like, maybe you got the creeping crud, you know, and you need to go relieve yourself in the bathroom. You know, you just pick it up off the dock and, like, you can keep going and take it with you. Or, you know, like, if you are going to go and do something and you're going to be out of the, you know, the main, or your house or whatever it is, you can take it with you and just, you know, go on a trip. Like, I took my Switch on me on my trip recently out to Colorado, and the flight out there was a little rough. So I didn't really, like, I tried playing for, like, a little bit, but the turbulence was just terrible. So I really couldn't get any enjoyment out of it. But, you know, I did find that, you know, in the evenings, you know, I would set up, you know, the Switch, you know, on a table and, you know, have the controller there and play some, like, Mario Kart or some Zelda or something like that, and just relax for the evening. But so it was nice to have that kind of with me. But I also, my laptop is a beefy enough laptop that I can game off of it already. Like, and so taking that with me is interesting. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, what is that going to be like for me? Like, am I going to enjoy taking my Steam Deck with me wherever I go and play off of it? Or am I going to revert back to that laptop, you know, when I travel?
Yeah. And I think that's a, you know, like, on a plane, especially if you're sitting in economy, having a laptop out on that little tray table thing is, you know, sometimes it can be pretty challenging, especially you're kind of hunched over and everything else. So I don't know, were I in your shoes, that I would want, you know, to do that. Like, I think that was kind of miserable. So the Steam Deck seems more attractive because it's more compact and you can kind of just pull it out. But, you know, the power of the Steam Deck is not a graphical powerhouse, right? It does very well for what it is, but it's not going to blow anybody away in terms of what it can do. So I don't know, you know, for some types of games like Bejeweled or something, like, who cares? But I could also just play that on my phone.
Sure.
So that's kind of where I'm in that weird spot, like, out of the house, where it's basically this weird in-between step between a phone and a real PC. Now, I don't have a gaming laptop anymore, so I'm in a little bit different position, you know, in that sense, where it is my only mobile PC. So I certainly will, you know, be more likely to bring it along. And I have so many choices on the Steam Deck because I can do all my emulation and it will emulate everything really, really well. Right. Every system, basically. Yeah, up to and including, it runs Switch games better than the Switch, ironically.
Yeah.
You know,
that's interesting. Yeah.
So like, I could just have it as my, you know, hey, I'm going to go somewhere. I'm taking a gaming system with me. That's the one thing I take. Like, I could totally see doing that. And then having my work laptop, which is a Mac, along for the ride, perhaps. If I was traveling for work.
Nice. But,
you know, that's my use case, at least.
So since you've had it, though, have you been doing more gaming on it than you would say, like, your other consoles and stuff like that? Or like since you've had it, where have you been putting more of your time?
Since I've had it, I've basically still been playing on the PC, other than when I go in the house and sit down, you know, in front of the TV in the family room, and I want to, you know, be in there playing a game, but also being around for my family.
Sure.
Does that make sense? But that's really it, right? Like, that's the only time that I feel like I've really used it much so far beyond, you know, dorking around with it to just experiment and stuff.
So we've had this conversation about, like, you know, you talked about one of the reasons why you like the consoles so much is because of their ease of use, right? They don't mm-hmm. break as much. You don't have to deal with drivers as much. It's not the Windows Update cycle BS that you have to deal with. And yep. so that's why you like consoles. And that's not a bad argument to make. That's actually a pretty fair argument to make. Like, if you're just looking to play games and you don't want to dick with all that other stuff, you know, the console makes a lot of sense. Now, now that you've gotten into the Steam Deck and you've been playing PC, do you find that still to be true? Like, at this day and time, you've got a PC, you've got PlayStations mm-hmm. and Xboxes and Switches and all these things.
All the choices, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, of all your choices that you've got available to you now, they're like, where are you still, are you actually more on the PC now than ever before, or?
I was fortunate enough to get a 3080 Ti when they first came out at normal price. And I built a very nice gaming computer around that. Basically over the summer, you know, July last in 2021. So since then, the PC, I would say, has been my primary platform.
Mm.
I have tried very hard to get the PC dialed in so that I don't have to spend a ton of time fiddling with it. And I've been, I would say, mostly successful in doing that, such that I don't feel the frustration that I felt in the past being a PC gamer and having to deal with incompatibility and other kinds of goofy problems. So that helped me migrate more to the PC. And I had a foot in the Xbox camp because so many games were coming out on PC Game Pass and had cross save to Xbox. I could play either place, right? I could go to the family room and fire up the Xbox and play there and then pick it up on my PC if I was out in the office. Does that, you mm-hmm, follow me?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that, I love that ecosystem that Microsoft got going there, but it's by no means universal, and that is the problem. When you hit a game that doesn't have that feature, you're kind of locked in on the Xbox because there isn't a Game Pass version, there's not a PC version that's cross save. So those games I tended to play on the PC just because I like having the saves backed up and everything else, and the PC is more powerful than the Xbox, so I get better graphics and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's interesting that you say all that stuff. So you were talking about you're putting yourself more into the Valve camp because of the Steam Deck. It makes that decision a little bit easier for you, and you're less likely to look for it elsewhere when you'd probably have a better time with it here. Now, I thought, and maybe I misunderstood, but I thought there was like instructions on how to get like Epic stuff running and all these other things running, but
there is.
Is that an argument?
That's what I was trying to explain earlier. Like, it's doable. It's just like three or four extra steps, and you have to do those three or four extra steps for each game.
Interesting. So it's not like you can just have the launcher here and now you can just install it and run and you're off to the races.
Well, you can install the launcher and get the launcher working and put that into Steam as a third party app, right? Mm-hmm. Or a third party game. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is say, oh, okay, I want to play such and such game that I have on the Epic Store. I have to go over on the Steam Deck interface. I have to go over to third party stuff, find the Epic launcher, launch the Epic launcher, wait for it to load, then go in, find the game in the Epic launcher, which is not necessarily designed for the Steam Deck, so the controls and stuff might be a little goofy.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to use the touch screen or whatever. And I can go in there and then find the game and launch it. And then, you know, usually it'll work and it'll play fine. The other way to do it is to do a couple extra steps where you go in and have an app that goes in and finds the game in the third-party launcher and injects the specific game into the Steam Deck interface with the art and all that stuff. So you don't have to go to the Epic launcher to launch the game. You can pick the game from the Steam interface and it launches the Epic launcher and launches the game automatically. So that's great, but that's you have to do that for every single game, right? You have to go and install it and then go and tell this third party tool to inject it into Steam. And so it just gets tedious. Like it's not that it's hard. It's just, I don't want to do that for every single game that I want to, you know, put on there. So that's been the frustration for me, if that makes sense.
No, it does, but I'm also hard pressed to like think of like, well, how many games from Epic would I want to have installed on a regular basis anyway? But you know, if it's only during the install process that you have to deal with that, and then you just hit launch game, that kind of takes some of that pressure off. I do get like the setting up process is tedious, but if it's only during install, then I think that it might be a tedious thing that is worth
you could live with it.
Trouble, I guess,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the end of the world by any means, but like I said earlier too, you also have to think about the compatibility settings for each game.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's fair.
So that also clouds things a little bit, and there are situations, not many, but there are some situations I've read about where in order to get the game to work, you need one set of compatibility settings, but those break the launcher.
Gotcha.
Right, and stuff like that. So it just that it's like an extra layer of shit to deal with that I don't want to deal with. And it's not insurmountable. And if you don't have a lot of games in those third party launchers, then no biggie. But I suspect that if Valve manages to deliver on some of the features that they're promising, that it'll push other people to do what I'm doing, which is to stay within the Steam ecosystem as much as possible. And one of those features that I'm thinking of is the idea of doing the super cool suspend and resume that the Xbox does now, where you dump the game, you freeze the game and dump it. They're talking about doing that with PC games through Steam and being able to load the state on the Steam Deck. Like you're playing on your PC and you want to go to the bathroom, you pick up your Steam Deck, hit a button, it sucks that state over and launches the game on your Steam Deck exactly where you were. Like Valve's got a lot of work to do and the developers are going to have to support it, obviously. But if that kind of stuff starts happening and actually becoming a real feature, like that's huge to me. That makes the Steam Deck, you know, even better in my mind. But that's only going to work with Steam games, I would assume, right?
Yeah, well, and that was a funny thing about, like, that was a funny thing about, like, what Stadia was always, like, touting. Like, you know, pick up where you left off your game. Like, you can play it on here, play it on here, play it on here. It's just so funny to me how Stadia is just kind of, like, yeah, the idea of that, like, how is Luna doing? Like, I haven't even checked in on Luna lately, but, like,
you know. Oh, they just launched officially. I haven't seen any press on how it's doing. But, obviously, like, they're giving you a rotating library of games through Prime Gaming that you can play for free on Luna. So they're, I think, you know, kind of just getting it in front of people right now rather than... You know, Stadia was trying to establish an entire new console market because they were selling you full price games, right?
Right.
Where Luna is not really trying to do that. They're giving you subscription packages and some free choices. So it's a very different business model. And I think that takes some of that pressure off Luna to be immediately successful like Stadia, you know, was expected to be.
So, and I feel like I've been interviewing you this whole time, which is fun. I actually enjoy this. This is actually good. I'm, you know, because it's making me think too, because I definitely have been getting, you know, I've got the Switch and I've got the PS4, and sadly the PS4 I haven't touched as much as I would have liked to. There's a couple of games that I do have on there. Like, I've got the Nathan Drake collection, and I've got the first of the new Spider-Mans that came out, I think, what was it, like 3 years ago or whatever? Not the Miles Morales one that just came out, but the one before it. I've got those games on there, and I'd like to play them, but it's just the call of other games that I have on my PC is a little bit stronger. You know, I've been trying to work my way through God of War. I've been trying to work my way through Cyberpunk. You know, I've been trying to, and it's just taken me a while because, you know, IRL, and I've got tons of, you know, outside of gaming responsibilities. But, like, you know, I've been playing through the Skywalker Saga, and I just installed the director's cut of Death Stranding because I haven't played through all of that game yet, but I want to go through it all now that I have the director's cut. You know, so I find the call to continue to stay within that PC ecosystem rather strong. And, you know, I play on the Nintendo quite a bit with my wife, and it's actually something that she likes because, you know, she can just, it's easy enough for her to, like, pick up a controller. She's got her own profile on the Switch now, and, you know, she loves playing Mario Kart. It's hard for her to watch a lot of motion games, but for some reason Mario Kart doesn't give her motion sickness like looking at a bunch of other games does. And so I think she's really been enjoying being able to actually play games like that again, where she used to when she was younger. But she's had troubles with it now that she's older, so it's like slower games, games that don't move very fast, or something that she more like, so City Builders and, you know, like World of Warcraft, for example, she kind of play at like a slow pace, you know, so she used to play a lot of WoW back in the day. But it's fun for her because now she can actually play, like, you know, more fast paced game and not feel whatever. So she's been loving playing on the Switch. So that's really good, but yet at the same time, because of the way Steam and Valve have been doing their remote stuff, I'm able to continue playing all of my games in other locations. I use Parsec. I like using Parsec when I'm like away from the house. So Parsec is my way to get back into my games back home when I'm not at the house. And so while I can use the Steam Link app remotely, it's reliant on if your computer is unlocked and all this other stuff. But with Parsec is I can actually like connect to my computer, unlock my computer through that, and then get access to all my stuff. So it's nice to, you know, it's nice to have that functionality, but I still find myself, you know, more continuing to be in the PC environment as my dominant location to play stuff. So it's very interesting. And I think
what you're describing, right, it makes a lot of sense if you are going from you're off in the basement to the family room, for example, and you've already got kind of a setup in the family room. Where the Steam Deck for me comes in is as that portable device that I can move it around the house, right? I can go in a different room, I can go sit in a different chair, that type of thing. And I've still got the Steam Deck with me.
And I think that's actually going to play a crucial role because for me too. And I'll say this, because like right now, if my wife and I are spending time together, and, you know, she can be like, you know, looking at stuff on her phone, and I can be playing a game on my phone, but we're still like in the same room, to us that's a version of spending time together. We don't always do that, and some people are like, well, that's not really spending time with somebody. I was like, well, it's different to different people, right? You know, it's just that, you know, we're together, you know, we can, you know, occasionally lean over and show each other something funny on our phones or whatever it is that we're looking at, and we can laugh and talk about it. You know, there's been whole times too where we've stopped what we're doing because, you know, something's come up, and we've then sat and talked for hours, which is always nice too. But the fun thing though is, you know, like if we're watching something, I'm usually on my phone with, you know, the controller connected, playing something down here, as we're now I can, you know, not waste my phone and use the Steam Deck and do the exact same thing. And then when I'm not using the Steam Deck, I'm using my Nvidia Shield TV with the Steam Link app on it to do the same thing. But you see, in this case, is I could just get a dock and just use this same thing. Because, like, if I need to get up and move to another part of the house, whatever, I don't have to, like, switch devices. I can just grab it off the dock and go. You know, and so that's, I'm actually really looking forward to that because I'm so invested in the PC ecosystem as it is already. This is just going to, I think, expand that. And that's why I've been so adamant. That's why I've been so adamant about, while I love hardware emulation for, like, classic stuff, the software emulation allows me to be able to kind of take all that stuff anywhere I go. And now there's been, I mean, we've, and just shift pivot a little bit on that. Like, I know there's been some advances in, like, unifying your save files across your emulators on different devices. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a cool new, like, functionality, but, you know, it's still nice to be able to have kind of like a singular platform to look at for the games that I want to play. And I would love to see more availability of integrating my third-party games that I get through other launchers into Steam. I'm telling you, that Playnite thing was such a nice feature because it really did allow me to import really well back into Steam non-Steam games, and I'm trying to find another functionality that lets me do that, and it's been hard to do that.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that nobody's patched up that that on the Playnite side, because it does seem like such a killer feature. It may well be that you know, somebody needs to give them a little nudge.
I don't even think it's in the libraries that you can install, because, like, now in Playnite, you know, Playnite has plugins, right? Like, you can get different plugins, and they've made it easier because you can install the plugins right through Playnite. I don't even think it's a current plugin. Like, I don't even think it's available in, like, their current ecosystem of plugins anymore. And it really was. It was such a powerful tool to be able to say, like, here is all of my emulated games that I have set up through Playnite. Export this into Steam, and then I could remote launch it through Steam. It would launch the emulator and the game with my preferred settings, and it would map my remote controller to that emulator as if it was local, and I was playing stuff like all over the place. It was such a cool way for me to, like, can, you know, officially play through Breath of the Wild, because I have Breath of the Wild, but it's on my Wii U, and who wants to keep that thing set up just for one game? Not me.
Right.
You know, I don't want to keep that thing set up just to play that. And so while I could get it on the Switch, and I've definitely thought about getting it on the Switch now that I have the Switch, I've already bought it. I don't want to have to buy it again. That's my thing with Nintendo. And the thing that bugs me so much about Nintendo and their ecosystem is, if I've already bought the game, tie it to my account. Just give it to me. I want one singular Nintendo account forever, like I have with Microsoft, like I have with PlayStation, like I have with Valve. You know, it's just like it, you know, stuff's not going anywhere. And so that's the final nail in the coffin on that piece. But so final thoughts, though, we can probably wrap this up here real soon here, but like, final thoughts, though, like, moving forward, you're definitely keeping your eye more closer towards the Steam marketplace than anything.
It sure seems like it. I mean, it's just kind of the emergent behavior that I've observed about myself. I think Valve has to maintain the momentum that they've got going right now, in the sense that they have to keep improving the Steam Deck, they have to keep certifying games for the Steam Deck and fixing problems and doing all of that, because if this is another, you know, Steam machine situation where they kind of, you know, it kind of peters out pretty quick, I'm not sure that that'll keep me going, but...
Well, I think with all of the public community support, because they've released all the CAD files, they've released videos of how to do replacement stuff, they've released all kinds of things to give it out to the community. So it's not like Valve's trying to, like, so solely lock this into themselves. They're releasing it, but they're also leaning heavily on the community for, like, doing all of the other things, which is not bad. Yeah. I think that's actually a good thing, but It as you said, it does make you cautious that let's hope that this isn't another Steam Machine fiasco, or like a Steam controller fiasco. I hated that Steam controller; it was the worst thing ever. But yeah, I think this is going to be good for the gaming environment. I think it's keeping a lot of people on their toes. Now, the only thing that I have concern with is if I can get my, you know, third party games into Steam on an easier basis, like GOG and some of that other stuff. That's all I ask is just a better way to link in or be able to launch. Because if I can remote play locally in my house over my Wi-Fi, the Steam Deck, and launch games from Steam on my PC and play it on my Steam Deck remotely.
Yeah, that's kind of the perfect scenario.
I would forever praise whoever makes that available. Like that.
Well, it solves the problem that I was describing, where I don't want to go through the hassle of getting the third-party game working on the Steam Deck.
Right.
If I could at least pull it off my PC and have, you know, those third-party games available that way, well, okay, that seems like a pretty reasonable compromise. So
I mean, it does limit you to only being able to play. I mean, if you have internet, like, remotely, like, let's say you're going somewhere else and you have really good internet wherever it is you're going, you might be able to get away with it there, although the further away you get from home, the less likely your experience is going to be enjoyable.
And if that's the case, right, I could, if I'm like in the middle of playing a game that I only have on GOG, I could certainly go and do the work to install it directly on the Steam Deck, assuming it's supported. But if it's just for around the house, which again is sort of my primary use case, I want to be in the family room, not in my office. You know, I have good internet in the house.
Well, I think Valve has come back to the table pretty strong. I think that this is really putting them. I mean, Steam's never going to go anywhere, in my opinion. But like, this really brought them back into some attention, some high level attention. I feel like between them and Microsoft, I think there's a pretty big thing going on for the PC marketplace and for PC gamers to really shine. So I'm really excited. So, but any other final thoughts, anybody?
No, I'm just thrilled that we have so many great choices. You know, they're better to be spoiled with choice than have no choice at all. So
true that. Well, you guys can head on over to our Discord server at discord.otherworlds.gg for all of this and more. We hang out in there and chat on all those kinds of things. We do community game nights and whatnot, so come on over and check us out there. And this has been episode number 59. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeehaw.